Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Beverly Hills Zito 210, courtesy of Johnny Davis. I'm Jack O'Brien, that's Miles Gray. This is what's trending right now. Hashtag Biden landslide 2020. Okay. That is not a natural disaster, as far as I know.
I mean, it's, you know, there's polling coming out that he's, you know, has a huge double-digit lead over Trump. And I think a lot of people who are of the 2016 mindset of how these races work are spiking the fucking football on, like, the fucking 20. So, you know, I get it. A lot of people who have pointed out, too, or they're like, you know, Dukakis had a fucking huge lead, too, in 88 and things like that. But that was between conventions or whatever. This is prior to everything. I think the bottom line is don't look at any of that. It's not relevant.
Yeah.
The important thing is every person has to get out there in this very narrow context, because I'm not saying that electoralism is the way to change things in this country, because that's already proven to not work. So at the very least, everyone's going to have to get on their ass to try and at least delay the spread of fascism in this country to vote for the stopgap Joe Biden.
Yeah. It's unbelievable that like people are just going through the exact same process. Like I remember like in 2016, I just clung to shows like, you know, Keeping It 1600, which is what, the name of the show was before, Pod Save America, because they just seemed like they knew what they were talking about. And they were like, there's no way he's going to win. It's like, no chance. He's like losing all these polls. Called you a bedwetter if you were worried that he was going to win. That was like their nickname for people who were concerned that Trump was going to win. And yeah, it just feels, it's starting to feel similar where people are just like, yeah, he's totally fucked.
Well, I think it depends on like that one. Like for some, most people were like, oh, hold on, let me get out of this like, you know, Democratic echo chamber where the same people who are giving you the punditry are the same people who are part of the machine, who are the same people who've been thinking the same way for the last few decades on how to consolidate and keep power. So some of those takes ended up being like, oh, right, because this never accounted for the fact that there are like actually a large group of angry, poor, racist white people too, rather than like, yeah, but we had Obama for eight. I think a lot of people were like, a lot of people were taking this as like this post-racial thing. And yeah, certain group went, oh, that's right. We still have to fucking make sure racists go back into their hidey holes.
Yeah. Ahmaud Arbery is trending because a Georgia grand jury indicted the three men who murdered him in connection with his murder.
Yeah.
I guess they were charged with murder.
Yeah.
So
great.
Yeah.
Justice. Keep it going.
Fantastic. Let's keep it going. Let's
now get justice for Elijah McClain and all the countless others that we're going to have to keep remembering, because there are still, you know, there are still these horrific cases of police brutality, or in this case, this was just, you know, racist lynch mob that just did their own thing. But we're having these examples where Black people are still considered threats and their bodies are disposable. So, you know, that rest can't continue. Although it is disheartening to see a lot of things go back to normal in a sense, like in terms of like the discussions people are having. But I think that's why it's important for people of good conscience to remember that this is not, like, this is far from over.
Yeah. Can't be over. Yeah. I just know that there have been other cases of, I guess this isn't police brutality, but it seems like it was similar in the sense that these guys were in cahoots with the local, you know, law enforcement people, community, and they got away with it for months, weren't even like really investigated for months. I just worry that, you know, I'm not going to feel anything but bad about that until they are like officially convicted, right. You know. French Revolution is trending, and not for the reason you might expect.
What's the reason? What would we expect? That people, there's like PDFs for how to make your own guillotine out of stuff you can get at Lowe's?
Yeah, exactly. People just being like, yeah, let's fully French Revolution the fucking White House. Let's go. But no, Lindsey Graham has put it out there as like an accusation. He claimed that the Democratic Party in New York and Kentucky, the strong showing of progressives, proves that the Democratic Party is basically the French Revolution now. And people are confused as to like how, what is his criticism? They're is like, he saying yeah. It's being controlled by the popular will?
Sir, do you know anything about history? Even the history of this country, right? His tweet is as follows from at Lindsey. This is what he, quote, "It appears the French Revolution has now come to the Democratic Party based on initial primary results from New York and Kentucky. If you had any doubts about who's in charge of the Democratic Party, all doubts should have been removed." Now, okay, a lot of people just came in with their very clear takes. Like, you know, at Dan Saltstein said, "The French Revolution, you say, in which rising social and economic inequality led to a democratic overthrow of a monarchy and this establishment of a republic? That French Revolution?" And the other thing people were forgetting is, they got turned up off of the American Revolution.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they were in like partnering.
Yeah. They were like, yo, this was hand in hand. The French Enlightenment, like it's all, this was all part of a pattern. But again, I don't know what this is. I guess for a certain subset of Americans who only know like phrases from history, will just like reduce it to some weird sentiment that's completely historically inaccurate. So like French Revolution means like, poor people are going to kill the rich people. Like, and that's all it means. Like, if you have more money than a poor person, you're going to get guillotined. Like, I think that's the subtext that they want to send out there. So
yeah,
sure. I don't know.
Anybody and French else? Bad, French equal bad for a lot of Republicans. But, yeah, it's, I mean, if he says so, let's go. And also putting yourself on the side of the monarchy, it's very like core American values. I feel like they've kind of given up on like whatever they're supposed to be about, like their fetishization of the founding fathers, just, you know,
well, all that, you know,
so long as that stands for taxation and getting rich,
all that grandstanding about patriotism and you know, what the values of this country. I mean, if you haven't woken up to that by now, you surely you must know that those were just buzzwords to try and like obfuscate their racism, you know, and using these sort of like, unencroachable, like you would dare not attack the concept of patriotism or what it means to be an American, because we're using that so you don't actually question the real motivations behind what we do, which is oppression. But, you know, and I think those are all running, all those defenses are like losing steam now. So a lot of people are starting to be like, yeah, that's not really a thing. But, you know, everybody's waking up at their own pace, it seems.
I mean, I get what he's doing. He's, you know, the whole Trump strategy right now seems to be vilifying the protests and, you know, making the uprising as scary as you possibly can and making it seem like his supporters are in physical danger. And we saw that with like the videos that Trump was sharing of a black man attacking a white man in a department store. And yeah, it's just that this is going to be their strategy. It's very similar to their midterm strategy, where they like created, you know, horror, racism, horror propaganda, about people like coming over the borders. That's I'm sure what we're going to see for the next, 5 months.
But the thing is, like, they're using like dated language that doesn't even connect with the fucking group they're talking to. Like, nope, they don't even know what the fucking people, you know, dog whistling shit, don't even know what the French Revolution means to a group that's not as intelligent as them. You think that's gonna get them be like, hold on, honey, did you hear this shit? The French Revolution?
The French Revolution.
The proletariat? Yeah. Like, they don't know shit. Like, I mean, honestly, they'd be better off doing fucking Breaking Bad metaphors. They're like, Gus Fring is going to come to shut your meth operation down. And you know what? You're going to be chained in his underground lab cooking him meth. That's what happens when the Democrats come. I think more people have some kind of like idea of what that is than things that, you know, what's oddly enough, like they're missing out on history that the educational system intentionally like did not do a good job of informing people on. So now you can't even
did
mention
not
this
cover
shit.
That so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, some news is trending right now that California just had its biggest one-day increase in coronavirus cases to date. So, I mean, this is just, you know, this is a result of something we've been seeing where we don't have the data. We don't have the things moving in the direction that we need them to move in. And we're yet California business leaders, political leaders, are conspiring to, you know, put your life in danger to, you know, just get a sense of like, you know, it's basically consumption disguised as purpose is something that I saw somebody tweet that I really liked. And now I forget who it is.
Yeah.
But that idea that, you know, consumption will bring our lives back to normal.
Well, I mean, that's, because again, people are really caught up in this cult of consumption and capitalism, where if your entire worldview is based on this pattern of working to consume to then signal to other people that you are what you are based on the things you're able to purchase as a consumer, then I feel like the only thing they know is to be like, well, normal, everything that's been defined to me as an American is that buying shit is being alive. What do I do now? It's weird because I even see lines like out the door for like clothing stores right now. And and like people are social distancing in line. And I'm like, what? I get if you need something for work, but it looked like a lot of people who just could not get over their habit of consuming and like the high of doing that, they needed to recapture on some level. And it was really strange. Like when you see these lines at places that are not essential businesses. And I get it. Like, if you want to, you know, get your haircut, whatever. But it's just another. There's another level when it's something as like, hey, man, I gotta get in this clothing store right now. Like, I just got to.
Yeah.
You know, because. But you know, people want to. I think people are also just very deeply in denial that things could be this out of their control and the stakes could also be that high at the same time. It's a difficult thing to have to accept, I'm sure, if you've spent a lot of time thinking you were fucking invincible and on top all the time.
Yeah. We need to, I mean, I think people have already been doing it, but we need to normalize wearing masks and not let somebody get away with not wearing a mask when we see it.
Yeah.
Like, that's inexcusable at this point. Yeah. Well, I've seen these, it's almost always some white guy between the age of 20 and 60 walking around without a mask on. And I just like what do they think it makes them different from the other people who have to wear masks?
Wait, who?
Like, do they,
which group?
Just people walking around without masks.
Oh, right.
While everybody around them is wearing masks.
Yeah.
Do they think that their immune system is better? Do they think
it's
that we're all just... It's just such a strange thing to want to even project. Even if you weren't worried about your own safety and the safety of the people around you, what are you trying to say?
Well, like, I would argue that the bonkers people who are resisting mask wearing are themselves feel the most powerless, probably, when you bring it down to like that molecular level, because...
Right.
They're in such deep denial, like in the same way, because you're like, what would you think? Because clearly that person goes, I'm not going to get sick, or rejects the possibility that they could get sick, or rejects the possibility that other people are sick, because that's preserving this idea. A, I feel like if you're so powerless, this might be the one thing you can do to feel like you're in control of your life. If everybody's wearing a mask,
right,
then you got to... Fuck that, because I'm in control and I'm out of control in every other way that I haven't been able to articulate in my own mind. But I realize this gives me an opportunity to push back on something. And I can also at the same time reaffirm my belief that nothing is wrong with anything right now. Because that's also, I think, the predominant thinking is nothing is wrong. If you're a young person not wearing a mask, it's because nothing is wrong. And also nothing is wrong because it affects people who aren't me. And so it's all versions of, like, you know, this sort of pathology of not accepting that how, like, sort of small we are as human beings on the planet. And that, like, yeah there are some things that, like, it seems wild because you've never experienced anything like this, that suddenly it gives people probably a moment to be like, am I part of, like, an interconnected community where I might have responsibility for my neighbor based on, nah, fuck that. I'm not going to think about that. Fuck a mask. I'm not a fucking pussy.
That's too much.
Fuck it. I'm going to Mervyn's.
Right. I mean, I always talk about how, like, you know, Harry Potter, The Matrix, like all these movies are about the same thing, which is changing, like, basically allowing us to deny the reality that we are one of, you know, 7 billion people on a planet.
Right.
Like, that, I think, is the one, like, kind of underlying reality that all of American culture is meant to disguise from us, is like kind of our insignificance. And so, yeah, I think that probably has a lot to do with them.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there are people who grew up in this country with parents who bought, you know, fucking hook, line, and sinker, the fucking American exceptionalism. That's just been a myth,
right,
that's been passed down and passed down through generations and generations of America has always been on top. You don't fucking want to live anywhere else. These are the same people who will say about a country they've never heard of that it sounds scary or it's fucked up, and then blindly say, like, I hear it's really corrupt there and the police are like, will kidnap people. And you're like, right. That's just like the world you were, you know, spoon fed and didn't take a second to, like, just be like, hold on. I know, like, on some level, if you're a reasonable human being and you've just been inundated with this kind of messaging, there will be a point where you're like, hold on. They're also like, everything isn't like a movie, too. Like, because in your own life, you do realize these moments where reality hits you and you're like, oh, fuck, I was living in a fairy tale. The same thing is true about this country and the culture and what the American empire is, too. And I think that's hard for a lot of people to even, you know, recognize.
Yeah.
You're telling me puka shells aren't cool anymore? I've been wearing them for fucking 3 centuries, motherfucker. Fuck that.
Puka shells
great again. Fuck that.
You guys might not realize how mean that is because I am wearing puka shell necklace and bracelet.
So
right
many
now,
on. So. It's kind of violent.
Shout out to Daniel for editing out all the puka shell clacking together every time I get up to the mic. Anyways, guys, be good to each other, be good to yourselves, wash your hands, wear a fucking mask, and yeah, don't do nothing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with a whole ass episode of our show, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.